Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyer, America's right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Feel free to call in 1-800-8-ENYERT, 1-800-836-9278. Hello to our friends in Springfield, Massachusetts, South Bend, Indiana, Rochester, New York, Denver, Colorado. The first half hour of the show is now being picked up in Denver by KLTT 670 AM, and we welcome all of you in Denver, Colorado. We're back on the air. In London, the British Army is reporting that the number of women injured in training has more than doubled since the British Army has introduced gender-free policies. Gender-free? I've heard of fat-free, sugar-free, caffeine-free. Gender-free? I haven't even heard that from, with all the latest sexual morality and all the new rules, I haven't heard gender-free. Anyway, they got gender-free policies where the men and the women take the same physical tests. They undergo identical training, and the injury to women has doubled. Now, that's a real tragedy. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. And why is it that so many people think that men and women are the same? You know, you're different either by birth. You're either born that way, or it's an environmental factor. It's a learned behavior. It's the funniest things what liberals will say. For those new to the show, we're conservatives here, right wingers. Liberal, to be a liberal, you have to believe funny things. This is one of them. You have to believe that the difference between boys and girls is learned and that homosexuals are born that way. Now, that really cracks me up. I think that's pretty funny because liberals can't look at a boy and a girl and say, well, look at that. They're born differently. It just cracks me up. But before we discuss that further, let's get to the news of the day. The sad news, 7 Marines were killed as one of our helicopter refueling airplanes crashed in Pakistan. According to the Pentagon, it does not look like it was enemy fire. What a tragedy. Also in the news, Matt Drudge is now number one in New York City on the radio Sunday nights. Number one. Just blowing away the competition. No one is even close. The alternative media is on the march. Matt Drudge, if you go to kgov.com, our website, at the top, we have a headlines banner. It says headlines. And if you click on it, it takes you to drudgereport.com. Because Matt Drudge, he's part of the new media, getting around the liberal radio and television networks and the mainstream newspapers in the country. So we've got the new media, the WorldNet Daily, Newsmax, DrudgeReport.com, KGov.com. And Matt Drudge is doing extraordinarily well in New York City. Of course, he allowed us to announce some of our Clinton rapist protests a while back on his show. And then even our plans when the Clinton Library opens in Little Rock, Arkansas, to turn that week into a Clinton rapist week so that the Clinton Library opens with a bang that no one will be able to forget because our protest signs will be large enough to read from a quarter mile away, Clinton rapist. And we'll have a number of them in Arkansas. But that's not till 2004. So plan to be with us for a few days in Little Rock when the opening of the Clinton Library is announced. Also, we did the interview with Norma Rogers this past week, and we're packaging it to fit it in a one-hour show, and we will let you know when it's going to be aired. But we'd like to tie it in with some significant Clinton news event, so that we have some hope of getting perhaps some mainstream media to reference it. Because this is the first time Juanita Broderick has told her story that she was raped by Bill Clinton as she was just becoming a campaign worker for Clinton back in 1978, and she ended up being raped by the man that she was going to help to become governor of Arkansas. And her friend, who was attending the same nursing convention as she was in Little Rock, her friend, Norma Rogers, another nurse, came into their hotel room and found Juanita just utterly devastated, her face swollen up, her lips just swollen twice their normal size, devastated that she had just been raped by Juanita Broderick. All right, let's go to the phones in Anderson, Indiana. Justin, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
How are you, Justin?
Hey, how's it going?
Going well.
Hey, do you remember me by any chance?
By your name, Justin?
Yeah.
Justin, we've added it up, and I've taken about 8,000 calls on the air.
Yeah.
So it would be really hard to remember you by Justin.
Oh, well, I'll try to refresh your memory.
Okay, do that.
About 2 years ago, you had a thing on your show on the TV. You were talking about punk rockers with blue hair.
On TV?
Yeah.
All right.
And you said they were gay and they smoked crack.
I did.
Yeah. So I called you up, and you also said that you will give $10,000 to anybody that can prove you wrong. Well, I proved you wrong.
Justin.
What's up?
This is a fabrication, the story that you're telling.
You're not fabricating. You owe me an apology.
No, I don't.
You owe me an apology.
You just... Okay, are you making this story up, or are you saying...
No, this is all true.
It's a true story.
Yes, it's a true story.
I have
it on videotape.
I'd like to... Could you make a copy?
Huh?
Could you make a copy and send it to me?
Oh, I sure could.
All right, and we will talk about it. If you give us our phone number, when we view it, we'll call you back.
Yeah, well, I think I'm owed an apology and $10,000.
Well, let's check it out. All right?
Yeah.
So okay. Please send me that video. Do you need our address?
I actually wanted to ask you something. You know that time you went to jail?
Okay, we'll talk about that, but are you sure you're going to send this?
You beat your kids.
Okay.
You're a molester.
All right. Hey, Justin. He hung up, didn't he? Okay. He's a moron. He is a moron. Now, I don't know if he's a crack-smoking homo, but I don't know if he's got blue hair or... a punk rocker. I don't know if he has any musical talent whatsoever. But, of course, he might not be a punk rocker. But, obviously, I never said such a thing. It'd be a stupid thing to say. So, pretty interesting. You think he'll send me the video? Nah. 1-800-8-N-Y-R-836-9278.
Bob Enyard teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyard's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah, and you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible. You can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYARD.
We are back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-888-8-NYARD, 1-888-836-9278. Hey, I want to know from Justin, how did I lose the bet anyway? How did I lose the bet? I'm just curious. And by the way, his reference that I beat my kids, for those of you new to Bob and Yart Live, especially out of state, pretty much in Colorado, everyone knows the story since it was nightly news for quite a while during the multiple jury trials. But I spanked my stepson 5 swats on the backside 8 years ago. And was charged with child abuse. And boy, I tell you, we went through a number of jury trials and appeals and won appeals. And eventually they got me. They got me and they threw me in jail. And I was in jail for, how long was I in jail? I'm asking my engineer. 6 weeks? 8 weeks? I have to ask my wife. She'll remember. She remembers because when I was in jail, our donations went up. And she was saying, well, Bob, we really want you back, but, you know, all our supporters are so kind, maybe you should stay in there another couple of weeks. Because they were helping my wife and kids survive while I was in jail for a couple of months. But in jail, of course, we had a full-time ministry, and I got to continue our Bible studies in jail. Our James and Jude album was recorded from jail, most of it. Because when you're in jail in Colorado, in Jefferson County, where Columbine is, you could only use the phone about 5 hours a week. That was it. They limited it. 5 hours a week and long distance, 4 hours a week. So right now, let's go long distance to South Bend, Indiana. Jim, speak your mind. Whoa, I don't have Jim. Let's see, Jim? Nope, Jim is gone. All right. Jim wanted to talk about women in the Army. And that would have been good, Jim. We lost you. 1-800-8-NYARD. 1-800-836-9278. And people have said to me 500 times at least, Bob, do you think they went after you because you were a lightning rod, because you were a talk show host and a conservative Christian? I said, no, that wasn't it. Because they've gone after, they being liberals and social workers, have gone after thousands upon thousands of families in order to do their best to, there's a jihad in America against spanking, to try to stop spanking. All right, let's try Jim again. Jim, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Yeah, this is Jim.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm a professional fighter. I had 122 fights.
All right.
And
could we ask your last name?
Kazmarek.
Jim Kazmarek?
Yeah, from South Bend.
All right.
And through the years, we've had a few women come down. In fact, a buddy of mine, his sister is or was champion of the world. And
so your buddy's sister was a female boxing champ?
Yeah.
All right.
And there's just no comparability between women competing with men and stuff like the Army or boxing.
Right. So, of course not. If you,
it's not physically, naturally possible.
Right. We have the University of Colorado up the road here in Boulder, Colorado, the CU Buffs football team. And, you know, they come in first place or close once in a while in the nation. And then we have the Lady Buffs, like Lady Buffs basketball team. And they do really well also. I think they won a national title once or twice. But we could take a Denver inner city high school basketball team and put them up against the Lady Buffs, first in the nation college basketball team. And who do you think would win, Jim?
Oh, you know the answer. It's the, like an amateur fighter could fight this world champion girl and beat her, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but the reason is because men and women are different. But
they're made different. They're not as durable. They can't take the punishment that a man can.
Well, in a sport like boxing, that's for sure. You know, they have great endurance on the assembly line. And and for driving a bus, and for so many tasks, especially raising kids, women blow men away.
Well, I grew up in the factories around here, you know, like over in Elkhart.
Yeah.
And they get more of that carpal tunnel, and their bodies just wear out.
Oh.
You know?
All right. Well.
But I think that's a liberal lie that they make up illusions like Hollywood does.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that believe that stuff.
Well, Jim, think about it. The feminists really compliment men by telling women that they're only good if they could be like a man. But it's a compliment we don't want, because we'd rather women be feminine.
Yeah.
And be girls, be ladies.
Be like my mother.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and my mother too. A woman doesn't have to be a man to be important. In fact, a woman can't be a man. And a woman who is a man is sort of gross.
Yeah.
But
you're right there.
Yeah, and you know what they tell young girls? They lie to young girls growing up, feminists do, in the public schools. And they tell them.
In Hollywood, too.
Yeah, in Hollywood. And they tell them they could compete with boys and that they could do everything the boys can do. And so that sets these young girls, you know, they're young. They're impressionable. And it sets them up for failure because they can't.
Yeah.
And the feminists complain that they say education is gender biased because boys score better in math and science. And so the feminists...
They also get all the special rights for equal jobs, you know, so they can...
Right.
They have to... I do construction, too. So they have to be able to work, you know.
Yeah, well, let's talk about...
And they can't... And then they talk about equal rights. At the same time, they got to have special rights to keep their job and stuff like construction.
Yeah, well, just to take one thing at a time, in education, when the feminists say that there's discrimination because the boys do better in math and science, what these lying feminists don't tell you is that the girls do better in everything else.
Yeah.
The girls do better in everything else. Boys do better in math and science because men are more inclined toward math and science.
Because that's the way God made us.
That's right. To most women.
Together we fit together to make.
Perfectly.
Perfect.
Perfectly, unless we deny who we are. But most women are too bored. You know, science and math, it's just boring. They want relationships. Women are more relational, and they're better communicators than men are. And relationships are the most important thing in life. Relationships are more important than bridges. So men are good at building bridges. Women are good at building relationships. And we work together. Let me ask you a question, Jim.
Yeah.
What if all of a sudden there was a huge chasm in the world, and all the men were on one side and all the women were on the other side, and it was a mile wide? What do you guess might happen once we all figured out what had happened and were separated by this mile-wide, bottomless chasm? What do you think? Now, that's a wild question to throw at you.
Yeah.
But what do you think might happen?
Somebody figure out a way to cross it.
Somebody would start building a bridge.
Yeah.
On which side would start building the bridge?
Probably the men, huh?
Probably?
Yeah.
The men... The women would be perfectly happy the way they are, and they would be making clothes and cooking and cleaning and having a great time, and they'd be watching the men erecting this huge bridge to reach the women. That's what would happen.
Yeah.
And the women would watch us, they'd have a great time, and we would be desperately trying to build a bridge, and we would do it. We would do it, but they wouldn't build the bridge.
But, you know, that's another reason all these kids are going nuts, like a kid that flew into the building.
Yeah,
their parents don't have the right roles in their life, and Hollywood and television sets them up to change roles, and nobody knows which role they're supposed to play.
Well, look at the American Taliban, Jihad Johnny Ben Walker Black. The San Francisco, he's from California, and the San Francisco media has now published that his father left his mother some years back to be a homosexual, and Johnny Walker, his dad, is an open homosexual. So, of course, his identity is all messed up. He doesn't know who he is or what he is, and he can't discern between terrorist murderers and innocent victims.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I kind of wonder sometimes if the communists ain't been in Hollywood ever since back when it started, and they use that as a tool.
Mm. Hey, Jim Kaczmarek. Jim, thanks for calling in. Years ago, we had a professional wrestler who really was a fan of the show and listed us on his website. So we appreciate your call very much, Jim.
Okay. Did you ever go to any fights when you were in South Bend?
No, I never did. I was never invited.
Yeah, we had a bunch of them at the Century Center. One of the guys from here, that Errol Brazier, he fought for the championship of the world a couple times.
All right.
Like on HBO and pay TV and stuff.
Wow. What was your record?
Right now?
Yeah.
I got 122 fights. I think it's right around 80-some losses. I lost more than I won.
All right. But you were out there. You had your hat in the ring.
Well, I'm still doing it.
You're still doing it, Jim.
Yeah. In fact, I'm opening a gym here in South Bend. Well, I got the building, and I got a little work to do to it yet. It'll be open in the next month or two.
You're not going to call it Jim's Gym, are you?
No, I call it Knuckleheads.
Knuckleheads. That's pretty funny. That's a good sense of humor. So if somebody wants to go to Knuckleheads, they'll be able to find you in the newspaper?
Yeah, well, in the phone book.
In the phone book.
Yeah.
Knuckleheads. Well, and you're a Christian, right, Jim?
Yeah.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you very much for calling in.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
God bless you. Neat guy. 122 fights. Wow. All right, we've got an instant message from Indiana. Bob, did you notice that the insurance companies are now saying that teenage girls have become almost as dangerous drivers as teenage boys? Now that's progress. Hey, we're feminizing everything in America. We're feminizing drug abuse. We're feminizing rush hour traffic. We're feminizing the inmate population of our city and county jails and our federal penitentiaries. You name the vice and we could feminize it, by golly. After all, remember Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn in that classic movie, Adam's Rib? Adam's Rib, where they're both lawyers and they both have clients who are unfaithful to their spouses. Only he's got a guy and she's got a woman, and people are saying to the guy, giving him kudos, saying, oh, he's a guy, what do you expect? And to the woman, they despise her, and they heap shame on her. And Katharine Hepburn, the feminist, says, this isn't right. This is a double standard. If a man could cheat on his wife, then a woman could cheat on her husband. And so they lower the standard for both. What a tragedy. Hey, goodbye to Denver. And for everyone else, we'll be right back.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Yeah, you must be them Inyong people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart. So if you could give me a buzz, my name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against n***** too, right? Yeah, n***** Let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check my
pop. And we're back. Bob Inyart Live. 1-800-8-INYART. 1-800-836-9278. A rattlesnake loose in the living room tends to end all discussion of animal rights. That came in from one of our audience members via kgovlive@aol.com. Somebody emailed us, quoting Time Magazine's Lance Morrow, a rattlesnake loose in the living room tends to end all discussion of animal rights. Good point. Good point. Maybe we'll put that in our animal rights file. Hey, Owen, did you know that the mail is down nearly 3 billion pieces since the terrorist attack, September through November, 3 billion pieces? That's sad because you realize how many trees now are, you know, we have a goal. I have a personal goal of cutting down 1,000 trees in my life. And you want to cut down trees because you want nice fresh air, and old trees don't do as good a job as purifying the air, taking in carbon dioxide and putting out oxygen. So if you care about foxes, if you care about deer and elk, you want them to have nice clean oxygen to breathe, don't you? Just tell a liberal this. Don't be so selfish and keep those old trees growing. You want young trees that can take the carbon dioxide from the elk and turn it into oxygen. Old trees don't do a very good job. And now 3 billion fewer pieces of mail, that's a lot of trees that are not going to be cut down. That's really a drag. But anyway, I do like email instead of, snail mail. Because it's more convenient, except for the fact that you get too much junk mail. But there's a solution for that. It's at 900email.com. Why don't you check that out sometime, 900email.com, a way to get rid of all junk mail and only get the mail you want. It's not up and running yet, but you can see how it works at 900email.com. By the way, that's our website. Okay, let's go to West Springfield, Massachusetts. Jack, speak your mind.
Hello there.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Not too bad.
This is Bob Enyart.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, you know, you were talking about people in the military and so forth. I was in the military.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not too far. I'm about a two and a half hour drive from the site of the biggest 9/11 atrocity.
Yes.
In New York City.
Yeah.
Although the hit on the Pentagon was also part of the 9/11 atrocity.
Right. That's right.
It sure looked to me like something out of a you know, some kind of a bombed out war zone. It. I was in Vietnam. I saw a number of bombed out places. I was in a secret experimental hunter-killer battalion out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been thinking about that, what occurred on 9/11, and in order for anything to be worse than that, because that was pretty bad,
right?
You pretty much have to have a thermonuclear detonation somewhere in this country.
Yeah, in order to top what they've done, they'd have to go nuclear.
I think so. You know, barring some other first world country coming over here with a huge World War II type air raid, which is unlikely.
Very unlikely.
Okay, so the next step, the only other possibility would be perhaps small suitcase-sized thermonuclear devices.
Well, we also have a concern of a chemical attack with a crop duster, as obviously Al-Qaeda was working on.
Right.
Muhammad Atta was trying to get a loan from the Department of Agriculture to buy a crop dusting plane.
Right. Certainly something of that magnitude would be necessary, something of a small nuclear detonation magnitude, or even chemical or biological, something huge. Anyway, the question that came up was, well, what are things going to get worse, and are things going to get better? And my thinking right now, right on the table, my belief is that things are going to get worse, and we are going to see something of that magnitude, thermonuclear,
all right,
chemical, biological, because I do not foresee anything changing. I do not foresee...
Okay, let's talk about it for a minute, Jack. That's you're laying that out there, so let's talk through it. What happened was Islamic terrorists, they want governments to go Islamic.
Right.
They want to create Islamic states, and they want them to be radically Islamic. And Afghanistan was their crown jewel. So they attacked us, and they destroyed 7 buildings and killed a few thousand people.
Right.
And we, with somewhat minimal effort, we destroyed their government. We took away a country that they had.
Right.
We dismantled an army, and we destroyed their number one base in the world in Afghanistan. So even if you're a moron terrorist, you've got to see that, well, this didn't work out very well. And if the terrorists launch from some other country that's supportive of their goals, then what we need to do is dismember that government of that country. As long as we inflict the death penalty to every government that tolerates terrorists within their borders, then we will end the terrorist threat. We will. Think about Japan. You know, Japan had kamikaze pilots.
Right.
And somebody could have said, well, they're willing to kill themselves, so if we kill them, there'll just be more of them killing themselves. We need to come to some other solution. And the World War II guys back then would say, well, if there are more of them that want to kill themselves, we'll help them.
Right, exactly.
Send them our way.
Now, we have a billion, you know, Muslims in the world.
Yeah.
And my guess is that we won't get all of them.
Well, we're not at war with Islam.
No, that's true.
We're at war with radical Islam, which does have widespread support in the Islamic world.
True. According to Pat Buchanan, in other words, what I'm going to say now is that we seem to have other worries, you know, in the making. it's, according to Pat Buchanan, I think there's some truth to it, the communist parties around the world are beginning to regroup after the fall of the Soviet Union, and I think there's something to be worried about there. Certainly China is something to be worried about.
Yeah, the world is a dangerous place. I think you were right when you said things are going to get worse, not better.
But let me just add this,
yeah,
Bob. The reason I believe things are going to get worse is because basically what we are fighting, and it should become more and more evident as time goes on, we're fighting a spiritual war. This is spiritual warfare. You know, our enemy, is not flesh and blood, ultimately. And do I see any change in the spirit of the American people? Do I see them, not putting in the communists, the anti-Christian socialists? Do I see them, not voting for the Freemasons? Do I see them, the Masonic Illuminati? Do I see them making any steps in that direction?
Right, very good point.
No, I don't see them doing that. Therefore, I don't think things are going to get better. I think things are going to get worse.
Well, okay.
I'd like you to follow that line of thinking just a little bit.
Okay, let's dissect it a little bit.
Okay.
The terrorist aspect of the threat against us is easily dealt with.
Okay.
Because we have such economic superiority and military superiority, they simply can't succeed in that vein. We can survive Al-Qaeda. We not might be able to survive George W. Bush.
Amen.
Because with Al-Qaeda, they want to kill us. Well, just like with the Nazis in Japan, even if we're not spiritual, we could defend our land and our women and children, and we could defeat the enemy in the physical realm. But in the spiritual realm, when George W. Bush is appointing homosexuals to key government posts, and when he appoints no end of pro-abortion judges to the highest posts that he's able to appoint them to, and when he increases spending for public schools that absolutely despise Christianity, we can see that we can easily survive Osama, but it's George W. Bush we got to worry about.
That's true.
Yeah.
If what happened on 9/11 caused the kind of paralysis, economic paralysis that we see in this country, that we saw, and we're slowly climbing out of that.
Yeah.
What would one or two small nuclear detonations do?
Well, obviously,
we're not invincible.
No, we're not. But we're the strongest nation on earth. But when God was intervening in the Old Testament,
right?
And you had the Assyrians, who were awesomely powerful and vicious and wicked, and God said they would be destroyed, and they were. So they were so utterly destroyed, you couldn't even find them. They were just buried in sand in the desert. And the same thing with Babylon, the same thing with Egypt. So your physical strength should not be confused with spiritual strength or godliness. But God today is not destroying empires as he was back then. We'll be right back.
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today. Others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through to Revelation. God and the Death Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a two-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-888-888. 8@Enyart. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air. But to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. We offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Enyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado, 80001. Or go online to KGOV.com.
We are back, Bob Enyart Live, 1-888-8-ENYART. We have two numbers to call into the show. We may combine those into one in the future here, but for technical reasons, we've got two numbers, 1-800 and 1-888-8-ENYART, 836-9278. Go back to West Springfield, Massachusetts. So, hey, Jack? You there, Jack?
I sure am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can.
Good.
All right. So, Jack, yeah, there's a spiritual battle going on and a physical battle. There's both. And our country will destroy itself from within, as Abraham Lincoln said. That's how we fall. And even if we survive against other countries or terrorist groups that want to destroy us, but if our children are destroying themselves, if suicide continues in epidemic numbers as a leading cause of death of young people in America, and teenage pregnancy, and thousands of abortions every day in America, and homosexuality, and our teenage daughters, it's a fad to be bisexual in public school among girls. We're losing our kids. NBC has just put the news out today that they're giving up on family programming. I don't know if you heard about that. And NBC's president, Scott Sassa, said today that they're not interested in family-friendly programs any longer, and they're also going to start advertising hard liquor.
Well, Bob, you know, the Roman Empire, as it began to collapse, it was collapsing from the inside, and it was being attacked from the outside.
Right.
And I see parallels there, do you not?
No. No, because the attack from the outside is irrelevant. We're now at an age, because of our economic prowess, that we could win wars with almost no casualties. We're fighting casualty-free wars, essentially.
Right, well, you know, actually, is this a war or is it a bombing campaign?
Either way, it doesn't matter. Iraq was supposed to be the mother of all wars. It was the mother of all retreats. You had Iraqi soldiers surrendering to AP photographers. They were trying. I worked on the Apache helicopter years ago for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company. They were trying to surrender to Apache pilots who were flying overhead. That was the fourth largest army in the world at the time, and we could utterly decimate it almost without taking a casualty. We could destroy Afghanistan that Russia was bogged down for 10 years. We could destroy Afghanistan's army, take apart their government, destroy Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan with almost without a casualty.
Can we destroy the United Nations?
If it came to a fight? If it came to a fight, it'd be hysterical. Sort of like the homosexuals in Planned Parenthood against the NRA.
Yeah.
That's what it would be like if it came to a fight, but it wouldn't. The United Nations could destroy us because their immoral principles gradually are adopted by the U.S. Congress.
Well, they have their fifth column right here in this country. You know, one of the former heads of the Communist Party for this part of the world.
Yeah.
Peter Collier and David Horowitz. They came right out and they said finally once they came over to our side that indeed there were communists under the bed.
Of course,
it's this fifth column that really is a threat to us. You know, they're in our schools. The National Education Association is a communist front organization.
Well,
the National Council of Churches is not our friend either.
Well, the media, the universities, many in government had this romance, this love affair with communism and communists.
And which is anti-Christian.
Oh, absolutely. Communism violates thou shall not steal.
Right.
And socialism also. But communism, doesn't work, just the socialism doesn't work, but communism doesn't work faster. And so the Soviet Union collapsed of its own weight. It just flat out doesn't work. And I think liberals, those liberals who really have a lot of power and pull strings, I think they're starting to see that. And I think that actually they'll be very happy with democratic socialist governments around the world.
And well, here in Massachusetts, the Marxist socialists are collapsing this state. You know, it's being collapsed under its own weight.
Mm-hmm.
Taxation here is enormous. Businesses are moving out. The tax base is disappearing.
Well, businesses should move out and go to where the taxes are lower.
Of course they should.
Right. That's right. Socialism doesn't work. America could feed the socialist world. But gradually, we're slipping. We're running headlong into socialism. And the further we go into socialism, the slower our economic output. But you know what's going on? It's like this, Jack. If you took people who were trying to provide for themselves and they lived on a deserted island and they had to go a quarter of a mile every day to get their water, and they were doing it and they were building a nice life for themselves, and then you're from the government and you're here to help, and so you strap a 20 pound weight on their back.
Right.
And they go to get the water, and they go and come back. Well, they're still going to do it, but they're still going to survive, but they're not going to survive as well. And so then you strap a 30-pound weight and then a 40-pound weight, and so they actually get stronger, but their standard of living is not nearly what it could be if the stupid government would get off them.
Amen. We have big government, the big government, big business, big international banking on one side squeezing us one way, and we have the socialists on the other side, the Marxist-Leninists, squeezing us in another direction.
Yeah.
And so it's big government and it's big business together.
I just got an instant message from Indiana that says, isn't communism based on coveting what belongs to your neighbor? So it certainly violates those two of the Ten Commandments, do not steal and do not covet your neighbor's goods.
We have two big enemies in this country, and the one of them is the Marxist socialist. The other one is big business / international banking. Both of them together are working for their own good, but not the Judeo-Christian people.
Now, Jack, wait a minute. This was shaping up to be one of my best calls in a month, and now you're starting to go a little liberal on me.
No, I'm not going liberal on you.
Okay, well, let me ask you. What in the world could possibly be wrong with big business? I want to buy nice computers, nice cars, nice microwaves, a nice house, and fly in nice airplanes. And little businesses can't give me any of that.
Well, that's true. That's true. However, big business has huge political power. And that political power is pulling Americans in a direction that we really don't want to go.
Money will always have influence, but that's not the problem. The fact that money has influence is not the problem. You have to analyze the situation better and figure out what the problem is. But don't blame big business as an entity as though it's inherently wrong to be big business. What's wrong in our government? What aspect of our government enables money to corrupt it?
I would say that it's apathy on the part of people who are basically fair weather Christians.
I hope it's not that, because they will always be apathetic.
Well, if a small minority of very, very concerned Judeo-Christian people keep working, we may possibly be able to do something. If we keep praying.
Well, I'm fighting and I'm praying, but I'm not praying that the majority will get on my side, because the majority never got on Jesus' side, nor Paul's side, nor Isaiah's side. Jesus said the majority are destined to hell. And they're fat, dumb, and happy. They're selfish, they're godless. If the government lets them fornicate or steal or kill their kids, They'll fornicate, steal, and kill their kids. That's what the majority will do.
What do you see? what do you see, Bob, that, you know, in the works right now, even some small nascent beginning of something that suggests that things are going to get better in this country?
Well, I think you just used a word that public school teachers in the audience will not be able to understand.
Okay, the beginnings of something, the very beginnings, you know, the
nascent or nascent, the coming into existence. Yeah, you gotta remember there are public school teachers listening.
Okay. Well, it's not the teachers. You know, these teachers are up against the National Education Association.
They are the National Education Association. They're the members, what, 2 million strong?
Right.
They're the ones that implement the pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-evolution, anti-Christian curriculum. And they do so without a peep. And they don't warn the parents of their local school districts that their kids are being destroyed in their classrooms. It's the teachers that are the problem. Remember, it's the majority.
Okay. I follow what you're saying there. Now, but these people have been so brainwashed for so many years, for the last 100 years.
Yeah, what people? What people?
Teachers, the American people.
Yeah. Right.
They've been dumbed down.
Dumbed down. You're not kidding.
And it's up to us Christians to get out there and to do exactly what you're doing. And I hope it works.
Well, I do agree with that. This is what I think, Jack. I think that when good things have happened in history, it's not because the majority has done it. It's because a small group of leaders have had a passion to fix something. And then they have either sold it or manipulated others to join them and accomplish something good, something right. And if you look at the history of Israel in the Old Testament, when the nation became righteous for short periods of time, it's not because the majority repented, it's because the leadership repented. And when the leadership repents, then if you have the right form of government, then the nation could become righteous.
Right.
But if the majority is in control, somebody instant messaged me and said the problem is democracy. And I agree with a large part of that sentiment. If the majority is in control, and Jesus said that the majority are godless, then the government will always and only be evil. It may do good by accident occasionally, but its downward trend will be consistent. And so democracies, we've been warned for thousands of years that democracies will destroy the countries that permit them.
Yes, it will.
And that's what we're seeing. Jack, thank you for...
Okay, thank you. God bless.
For a great call. God bless you. Really appreciate that. Jack from West Springfield, Massachusetts. Hey, I shouldn't have saved this for the end of the show, but here's how we're going to survive and grow. Bob and Yurt Live. Every day, we need someone to call us up at 1-888-8-N-Yurt every day and sign up for our monthly Bible studies. It's only $25 a month. You get the 4 Bible studies that I teach each Sunday night in Denver at Denver Bible Church. You get those Bible studies. We'll start you at the beginning so you don't miss anything. And we need your call. We need your help because my wife and I can't swing this on our own. It's too expensive. But we want to be on the air. We want to fight because we've got the answers because they're in the Bible. And so we need you to call us at 1-888-8-N-Yurt. Somebody could call right now. Look, we're going to be off the air in 30 seconds. Somebody could call right now and sign up. You give us a credit card number and we'll go to Vegas. No, we won't go to Vegas. Give us a credit card number. We'll charge you $24.95 a month and you get our monthly Bible studies and help keep us growing. This is Bob N-Yurt reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. There's the...